So my name is Ricardo again. So here in the starting slide, you have the title and my co-authors, and then you have two institutions. So I just started a new job at NC State University, and so I put it in there, but all the research was carried in the University of Arizona under Dr. Sherry Kubota lab. But let's start. So basically, the focus of these studies is to use spectral manipulations to change plant morphology and growth and desirable characteristics. So you can do this in two systems. In one of the systems, it has a supplemental lighting, where most of the light comes from the sun, and some light comes from a supplemental lighting. In this case, we're going to focus on using the LED. To give you some examples, we did a project here where we found that between 10 and 20% of the light was supplemental lighting, and the rest was solar light. Well, when you grow the plants in the different supplemental lightings, we can see, you know, on the high pressure zone, you have 65% increasing height. And on the blue, you have 46% in height. And the blue and the red, you know, it's the main difference just because of light quality. Another example, we also try to work on the leaf curling index. That's how we call it. So what happens, bell peppers, when they're grown in a greenhouse and they're high-pressure sodium lamps, after 3 weeks, they start curling, right? So they have to actually turn off the high-pressure sodium lamps to let those leaves come back, because you don't want to reduce the intersection of light. So we tested different light qualities on the supplemental lighting, and again here, the blue light had no leaf curling compared to the high-pressure sodium lamp. This is the bane of the leaf, the middle leaf. Now another area where you can use spectral manipulation, it can even have a higher impact, is under sole source indoor lighting or vertical farming or closed stack production. So to give you a couple of examples here, this is a study from the lab where by using supplemental LED lighting on a background of cool white fluorescent light, you're able to either increase phytochemicals or dry mass, or have something in the middle where you increase dry mass but you don't affect the phytochemicals. Another example is growing plants in the different ratios of percent, red, and blue. So here you can see just a picture, and where cucumbers, you know, it's easy to see the plant height reduces with the increase of blue until you take the red out, and then you have the highest height. And you can see these here, but the plant under 10% blue had the best growth, and it was the same that the plant under 100% blue. So let's go now into this talk. So the objective of this talk is to keep using spectral manipulation for the growth and development of plants, and try to find a good spectrum to grow plants under closed stack conditions. So now we're pretty certain that plant responses are species specific, right? So this purpose of this research is focused on tomato transplants. So the background research on tomato transplants, there's a few studies out there. Some of the results are conflicting. And for example, there is a study in 2011 that said 100% blue is better for tomato transplants. There is another study in 2012 in the Green Seeds Conference, and it says the 10% blue is the best for plant growth on tomato transplants. And there is a more recent study here last year from Michigan State that showed 100% red was the best for tomato transplants. Now, you know, and there is a differentiation on the amount of treatments that were used in each of the research, and I just decided to build on it so we can have a clearer picture of what's the a clear spectrum. So here you can see the materials and methods. We have all the way from 0 blue, 10 blue, 20 blue with some green, 30 blue, 50 blue, and 75 blue, and then 100% blue. And then we have 100% photoflux for 18 hours. And this is a spectrum graph for those that like to see these graphs. It's right here. And then we also have a control that I didn't mention, which is a cool white fluorescent, right? So far it's a white spectrum. It's used as a staple to grow plants indoors, so we need to put that and compare our LED hype technology to the base technology. So we did that. This is just the reporting guidelines for indoor production, for controlled environment production. You can see here, the only two things that I want to show you is that you have, you know, pretty close, non-significant difference between the intensities. And then also you have the temperature, the actual canopy temperature, which is very important to prevent any confining variables, is also no significant difference between all the treatments. We measure a lot of different plant responses, and we try two different crop species, two different tomatoes, Commit and Beaufort. Commit is a hybrid scion for hybrid plant greenhouse tomato. And then Beaufort is a rootstock, which is actually in the same line than Maxifor, another very common rootstock for tomatoes. So let's jump into the results. So here in the x-axis you have the percent blue photon flux, and then your y-axis you have caudal length. So we're measuring plant height and the response of plant height to different blue photon flux on the same intensity. So this is what happened. So plant height decreased with the increase of blue photon flux up to 75%, and then it came back up when you took the red out. Now you can see here, there's something that I like to mention, is that this circle is a cool white fluorescent lamp, and this triangle is 20% blue with some green light, which is 30% green light. Okay, so it's still our plants, they're cool white fluorescent, were the most compact plants. So now let's talk about a little bit of morphology. So this is leaf area, and you can see there is an increase of leaf area up to the 30 and 50% treatment, and then it starts going down up to the 100% treatment. Now you can see here also, if you take this line and you remove two dots, which is the 0 and the 100, you may be able to draw a straight line right there, saying maybe no difference between those treatments, right? But I have to make a decision. So what do I do? Well, I need to go back to the literature, and also I need to be based on the statistics. So for this presentation, I went with the curve. I went with the statistics. So this is a leaf photosynthetic rate. There was no difference between any of the treatments. It's a straight line. That's why nothing is there. No statistical difference. And this is dry mass. So dry mass follow the same arch than leaf area. Increase of plant growth with the increase of blue photon flux up to 30 and 40%. And then it started decreasing after that to 100%. So what happened to the 100% treatment? We observed leaf bleaching in some of the tomatoes. You know, the tomatoes show normal growth initially, and then they look very pale, and then the leaves started bleaching towards the end. So that affected the growth of the plant. Then here again, we have the cool white fluorescent, which is very interesting because on our previous study and observation with cucumber, the cool white fluorescent treatment was actually categorized as one of the best treatments, you know, close to the 10% blue, but with a more compact plant, so more of the striable spectrum. But here, if we analyze this with a mean separation, we know that this treatment is statistically lower than some of the red and blue treatments. So that's a good finding to say, you know, maybe for tomato, cool white fluorescent is not the best projecting light quality. Here we have another measurement that we took, and this is anthocyanin concentration on the leaves. You know, we started seeing that the leaves were turning purples at different rates, and they say, well, we have to take the anthocyanin. Now we have to. I mean, they're tomato transplants, right? So in Japan, a high quality transplant is a purple transplant, right, for tomatoes. That's a marketing, because they know plants under closed type systems, under cool white fluorescence, they develop a lot of anthocyanin. So they're purple plants. So it's like a marketing. It's a purple plant, it's high quality. And it's interesting to see, because we showed this plant to some growers, and they prefer the ones that were the most purple, right? Because that was more anthocyanin. I mean, what does it mean? Well, we don't know. We have to take these plants out to the greenhouse and see if there's any effect. But you can see here an increase of anthocyanin with increased photon flux. But when you take the red out of the spectrum, the red out of the spectrum, the 100% blue, no anthocyanin or minimal anthocyanin development. Here you have some pictures of tomato seedlings, Commit and Beaufort. You can see our experimental number of plants were 20 plants per treatment, and was repeated 3 times. And then, so to conclude, on tomato Commit, which is the improved hybrid, we know the hypocotyl length, which is the measurement of how compact the plant is, decreased with the increase of blue photon flux, except for the 100% blue treatment. And also, 75% treatment had the shortest hypocotyl, and 0% blue had the longest hypocotyl. For shoot-dry mass, increase with the increase of blue photon flux up to 30 and 50%. And 30 and 50% have the highest shoot-dry mass. So what happened to Beaufort? You may be wondering why I haven't presented any results on them. Well, Beaufort developed severe intumescence, or edema. How severe? Well, so severe that sometimes the growth compared to the who was for the control was between 200 and 300% lower. Right, so it really affects the plant growth, because the edema quickly started dropping the leaves. And we knew this was going to happen. We just didn't know at what rate. but it was very, very a strong reaction. But we did see a pattern, with Buford, where the increase of blue photon flux reduced significantly the percent edema. But how much? Well, not really much. You can see you have 10% blue, you have 70% of the leaves have edema. If you have 75% blue, then 63%, well, still, they all have edema, right? So this is not, it's just a pattern. But then, you know, the red has less edema, but like I show you, it's not a good spectrum to grow tomatoes. Could white fluorescent no edema, right? And we know this because UV prevents edema development, UVB. And then 100% blue, no edema. But also we know, that there wasn't the best growth for the tomato, right? So I have another presentation on Friday where we took a deeper look into this edema issue. And we think now we have found a spectrum that doesn't include UV that can eliminate the edema problem. So follow me on Friday. thank you very much. Chris?
What was the rationale for including the 30% green light under the 20% blue green?
Yes, so we decided to put the 30% green light. We wanted to see if we see any effect specifically to the green light. And we're trying to, you know, follow some of the papers, some of the scientists are present, where the blue light sometimes increase the photosynthesis, you know, for some cultivars. So they say, well, let's include a green light. Why? Because we can. And then later on, when we analyze the data, we see if that separates in any other shape or form. That's why the reason. And why specifically in the 30? Well, we tried to match 20% blue light with LEDs to 20% blue light on the cool white fluorescent. By the way, cool white fluorescent T12s have 20%, 19% blue light. Match that. And then the red, green, and red would be not, we couldn't match that. But, you know, just to match those two treatments. They have 20% blue, but different backup spectrum. That was the reason, Chris. Yeah.
Ricardo, just wanted to check the shoot and the root ratio, the prime and the ratio.
No, we did not check the roots. Yes. Eric?
What were the peak wavelengths of the blue and red?
661 for red and 453 for blue.
And as a follow-up, it's interesting because when we've done studies with tomato, we've never seen the response you saw with 100% blue.
It can be a cultivar. It's also, it can be the experimental setup itself. I know in your experiment you use a higher light intensity, and compared to my experiment, so that can also have something. You also use a determinate tomato early grow, and I use an indeterminate commit, so that also can have an influence. But yes, so this would just add up to the power information, and together maybe we can come up with something. You know, back there. Sorry. Yeah, it's the same light intensity, same photosynthetic photon flux, right? Right now, the amount of light intensity in the red is lower than a lot of the treatments, right? But then the green is higher than a lot of the treatments. But it's the same intensity, because this was measured throughout the experiment. Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah, finding different results, right? From
Yes.
So I assume those were different species, but then the question is, and then you did this study with something different again?
What?
For recommendation, if we need to recommend something for a grower, what would be better to recommend, like a neutral light that has a little bit of everything? Or do you think in the future we're going to recommend for each grower a different light recipe?
I hope not. You for your last statement, and they're same species, just different cultivars. But yeah, so we have to come up with a spectrum that is comfortable for most of the tomato growers. And I think I have one, but yeah, we can talk about it on Friday. Yes, thank you.